From the shores of Brant Rock to Braintree's Five Corners, this is the South Shores Radio Station, 95.9 WATD.
Now, WATD presents Connect with Jeannie White. From business networking to current events and everything in between, join in the conversation at 781-837-4900. Now, let's connect. Here's your host, WATD's Jeannie White.
Talks with Janae Radio, filling in for Jeannie White for what would have been her last Connect show here on WATD. She's actually on vacation in Florida right now and asked me to fill in. She talked about the fact that she was leaving WATD last Saturday, and I know a lot of listeners emailed her to wish her well as she moves on to her new station, and I know that she really appreciated hearing from so many people. So if you want to wish her well or stay connected with her to listen to her new show, you can send her an email through her website at www.connectwithjeanniewhite.com. That's CONNECTWITHJEANNEWHITE.com. Today, though, we have a wonderful guest who happens to be a very dear friend of mine, Lindy Conroe. Welcome, Lindy. Thanks so much for coming in here today and talking with me.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Now, I wanted to start by giving a quick background on you, if that's okay.
Sure.
I just want people to know who you are, because I know you so well. So you got your master's degree in English literature from the University of Rhode Island and then taught at Dean College, which at the time was Dean Junior College, right?
That's right.
And that was for 18 years.
It was a long time.
You were an assistant professor of English there, right?
Mm-hmm, I was.
Great. You decided to change careers.
I did. I really enjoyed helping kids, not with academics so much at the end, but more with the problems they were having. And the only way to do that was to go back to school.
There you go. And you went back and got a master's in social work from Boston University.
Correct.
Then, of course, the natural progression for most of us is you went and got a license. So you're an LICSW.
Mm-hmm, I am.
And for people that don't know what that means that she's licensed as an independent clinical social worker. And that's actually the reason why we met, sort of.
I guess it is, sure. We work together.
That's right, because I'm an LMHC, which, again, for people that don't know, that means I'm licensed as a mental health counselor. And we worked at the same clinic together doing mental health outreach. And we started working together in 1999, if I'm remembering that correctly.
I think you're right.
And that was for a couple of years. And I know you remember those fun days.
I do. We worked really hard, and we did have a lot of fun.
We did have a lot of fun. You are also an accomplished artist, and, we're going to get into that a little later because you know how much I love your art. So we are going to talk about that today. But right now we're going to talk about the nonprofit organization that you and your husband Ken founded, and it's called Jen's Jackets. And it's a fantastic program, folks, and it's aimed at children in need of clothing. And I love the story how it all came together. So, Lindy, if you could share it with the listeners, that would be great. And take us back to the beginning before it was even called Jen's Jackets. What sparked the idea for you to get this going?
Well, in 2008, I think actually I had the flu. It was February. And I was reading the Globe, and there was an article by Anna Badkin about homeless shelters in Holyoke, Massachusetts, and the mm-hmm. fact that when other shelters all over the state are filled, homeless people are actually bused to Holyoke and stay in the Holyoke shelters.
Oh, so they come from no matter where they are in Massachusetts, they go to Holyoke.
Correct, if their own shelters are filled. So Holyoke has huge shelters. One shelter has over 200 families in it, and there are several other. There's a sister shelter to that one with, I think, about 62 families, and then there's other shelters. So they're huge homeless population in Holyoke. And the article talked about how sometimes when these people come, they literally have just the clothes on their back. And the part that really sparked the whole effort was the part when they mentioned that children often arrive at the local elementary schools without coats in the dead of New England winter.
Wow.
And sometimes they are wearing flip-flops because that's all they have.
Wow.
And that literally broke my heart. I had no idea. I think people don't realize most of us have at least, you know, several changes of clothes. We never think about people having literally no shoes.
Right.
So I waited. I didn't do anything for a month or so. And then when I got finished with the flu, I emailed Anna Badkin at the Globe and asked her if she would mind sharing contact information at one of the schools that she mentioned in the article, the Kelly Elementary School, and for a contact at the Main Street Shelter, which she had mentioned by name.
Okay.
And she emailed me back with the people's names and their email addresses and their telephone numbers. So I followed up. I called the people. I asked if they would like, you know, clothes and so forth, if we could raise some. And they said absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think, and I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't think about the fact that homeless families with children, yeah, the kids still go to school, and what do they go to school with if they don't have anything?
Exactly. I think none of us, unless we've been in, you know, walked in those shoes, have any idea, and I didn't either, but I must say, I mean, Anna Badkin's article was so beautifully written and made it really real.
Okay.
You could imagine a kid getting off a bus in a snowstorm without a coat.
Okay.
And how could you not do anything?
Right. Well, and you did something. And that's the beautiful part. So how did you get started? I mean, you mentioned that you called the Globe and you got some contact information. But what did you do after you got the contact information?
Well, I should also mention that my husband, Ken, was very involved in this as well.
I mean, yeah.
I read the article, but he got on board right away. And and we just started telling people. I guess we envisioned something where it was not even a registered nonprofit, where we would just collect clothes from the people that we knew,
right,
and drive it to where it needed to be.
Right.
And that was our initial vision.
Right.
But as we told people, we were quite amazed at how responsive they were. It seems this is a huge number of people out there wanting to do something but not knowing how to proceed.
Right.
And so we would say, you know, when you wear out your clothes, or you're tired, you buy new clothes, or your kids outgrow your clothes, you know, we'll take them.
Right.
And then eventually the clothes filled the guest room, and then eventually they took over part of the garage.
Being overrun by clothing.
Yeah, but it was a good thing.
Okay.
And then we decided, we would periodically decide, oops, it's time for a run.
Okay.
And Ken would drive, and we would both pack up the car and go off to the Kelly Elementary School, or in the beginning, the Main Street Shelter.
Okay, and out in Holyoke.
In Holyoke.
All right, great. So that's where the clothes first started going out to
They
Holyoke
did. We made a number of trips to the school and a number of trips to the Main Street Shelter.
Okay. So that's the foundation of how it all started. And then it became Jen's Jackets. Where did that name come from?
Well, we have in our extended family, there's a family member, Jen Ballerino, who was a wonderful, wonderful person. She died last spring. Last May, and she had the most incredible affinity for children. She didn't work in childcare or teaching, although she did work in teaching for a while. But she just she was like the Pied Piper of children. Wherever she was, kids followed her. She did thousands of good deeds that we only found out about after she died. But she died of brain cancer.
Wow.
Last year at age 41.
Wow, that's heartbreaking.
It was very hard. It was very hard on her family. And Ken and I thought afterwards that we might want to expand what we were doing to include more people. And as we thought of her commitment to children and the many, she made every child she knew feel like they were the most special child in the world. And when she did student teaching, she would outfit kids who didn't have clothes.
So she was doing this.
She was doing this in a quiet way a long time ago. And we thought, what better memorial for her than to continue our work in her name.
Right.
And to ask her family and friends maybe to do this living memorial that would keep going.
Okay. So there's a few people involved besides you and Ken.
Well, actually, there are a lot of people. There's kind of a steering committee of about 7 people.
Okay.
Who are family members of Jen.
Of Jen's, okay.
And we're in that. We're included in that because Jen was in our extended family as well. And then I would say a lot of people in the Franklin community are part of it because some people regularly canvass their friends for us and bring clothes. And there's also another nonprofit, Random Smiles, in Franklin. And they have also been helpful and fulfilling needs. When specific needs came up, they would send us clothes or gift certificates.
Great. So nice community effort going on here.
It really is. At this point, we don't advertise this. It's pretty much word of mouth, grassroots. The clothes seem to pour in.
Okay.
I mean, there's people have a need to give and they want to give. And so they give and then we just take them to where they're needed.
Okay. All right. And so it sounds like there's a little bit of coordinating that has to happen here. So what are some of the needs of the program? What do some of the different volunteers do to make this all work?
Well, you know, first I have to say, to be honest, it isn't brain surgery.
Okay.
Anybody who wants to do this can do it.
Right.
There are people who have, for whatever reason, most of us actually, too many things. And then there are people who don't have anything.
Okay.
And we're the conduit. But there are specific things that we do. We, again, collect. You need to have a space to collect this. But you know what I'd say? Just go with it. Your space will be provided. Our space was part of our house. We outgrew that. Somebody in our steering committee actually has a business and has given us a space to store clothes.
Okay.
We all have access to that. So as the clothes kind of trickle in, we put them there. When it looks like, wow, we've filled the space, we call a meeting of Jen's Jackets, the people in that, and we set a date to go through. We now rebag everything. So we take out clothes that need to be washed.
Mm-hmm.
We assume they'll come in clean, but sometimes they don't.
Mm-hmm.
So we wash them. We cull out anything that is perhaps too stained or not appropriate.
Okay.
And then we rebag the things, and then we need people to help us drive them.
Okay.
One of the people on the steering committee owns a daycare type situation and actually a preschool and after school business. And she has a small bus, which she has offered to us. So instead of now taking a caravan of cars, we put lots of bags, upwards of 50 plus, in the bus.
Okay.
And we go to wherever we go.
Wow. Okay, so you're really lucky in that you've got these people that have these resources, but it also sounds like anybody that wants to start it, they might also have those resources.
Do you know what? If the resources hadn't come through, we would still be doing, when there's enough clothes, put them in the car and drive them.
Right.
Even if one person wanted to do this and go every couple of months, they're so in such dire need of clothes, that would be a wonderful thing.
Okay. Wow. Wow. So speaking of coordinating and volunteering, I know that in October of this past year, Jen's Jackets was chosen as the adopted charity to be supported by the Franklin Postal Center USA. And it was part of Make a Difference Day. That must have been pretty exciting to be chosen.
That was huge. We were just going along. We figured we'd just keep doing what we're doing. And Postal Center USA reached out to us and said, would we be their charity, which meant that all of their stores, their 5 stores in different communities, would be engaged in this.
Okay.
They sponsored huge, they contacted every school and church in 5 communities. They had just tremendous resources. And also they collected the clothes and jackets at their stores.
Okay.
And from that, we delivered over 600 coats 250 ski pants and outdoor wear.
Wow.
And 50 pair of boots, I believe, and mittens, gloves, and hats.
That is fantastic. For those of you that don't know what Make a Difference Day is, it's a national day of helping others that takes place on the fourth Saturday of every October, and it was created by USA Weekend magazine. And for more information about that, you can visit usaweekend.com, and then there's a button to click on that actually says Make a Difference Day in the left-hand column menu. And we are going to take a break right now, but we will be right back.
Hello, Laura Sheridan here. Are you sick of the blah blah and want more rah rah? Do you feel like life is lighting a fire beneath you instead of within you? Do you long to find your dream but simply ran out of steam? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to buy my book, The Rah Rah Book. Or if you feel your organization could use a little rah rah, I can perform a live Rah Rah with Laura show to help everyone kick the K away from funk and have just plain fun. Go to my website, which is www.rahrahwithlaura.com, to buy my book or to book me. May the rah-rah force be with you.
Hi, this is Janae, standing in for Jeannie White on the Connect Show, and we are here with Lindy Conroe, and we're talking about the nonprofit organization that she and her husband Ken founded, Jen's Jackets. And so we were just talking about some of the very exciting things that have been going on with Jen's Jackets in the last year. And the other thing that happened in, and this was this past November of 2008, was that Jen's Jackets was featured as one of five highlighted charities in Bay State Parent magazine. So, again, another really cool thing that's happening with this organization. That must have also been exciting.
Well, it was. But you know what I think I'd like to kind of put out there is that if you start doing something like this, opportunities come to you.
Yeah.
The universe sent us people with a storage area, which you need,
right.
And you need transportation. Somebody had a bus. Somebody in our church freelances for this magazine said, oh, let me write about this. I'm excited about your cause. I mean, things happen.
Right.
Even if they don't, you can still do this on a small scale.
Exactly.
But we did not plan to grow this.
Okay.
It has grown, but right. With some other force behind it,
right.
And it's been great.
Right. And that's a lot of times how things happen, right?
I think so. You have to trust. This was new for me. I like to plan. And when Ken and I started this, we had initial plan that we would just do this periodically. We had no idea that it would grow, and so we just kind of followed it step by step as it's
right.
still growing.
Right, all right. So flying by the seat of your pants, and then it's like, wow, it just kind of expanded from there.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. So what's going on for Jen's Jackets lately?
Well, in January of this year, we collected 51 very large bags of clothing, and we took them down to New Hope in Taunton. New Hope sponsors battered women's shelters in a number of locations in Massachusetts. Families are always coming and going, and they always have a constant need. So we brought, as I said, 51 bags of clothes down to Taunton. And then that was January. In February, we actually brought 53 bags of clothes down.
53.
So that's like 104 bags in
yeah.
2 months. right now, we're in transition. We're hoping people will give us, will contribute spring and summer clothing because the kids and their families need clothes all year round.
Right.
Coats come to mind initially because New England in the winter is, as we know, frigid, and you need coats. But we're trying to get the news out that the information out that clothing of all sorts, we need four-season clothes.
Okay.
And so we do this year-round, so hopefully we'll start to get some spring and summer things.
Okay. All right. So you know what? Let's give out the way that people can contact you. If they want to donate clothing.
Absolutely. It's at the website, jensjackets@yahoo.com.
Okay. All right. And that's spelled out JENSJACKETS at yahoo.com, right?
Exactly right.
Okay. Great. Great. Because I'm positive that our listeners are wondering, you know, how they can do something in their community, how hard it would be, you know, how they can help if they can't start their own. So for the people that are looking to start something similar, are there any pointers you could give them?
Well, I'd say just do it. I mean, truly, I had never done anything right. like this. I knew nothing about it. You know, find a cause nearby. You know, there are homeless shelters everywhere. Every community has them. Call up, say, I would like to bring some clothes, and then you need a storage area and you need a vehicle to get the clothes there. And the storage area could be a closet.
Right.
It's not, you know, it's not huge. But I would love if anyone wanted to email us and Ken and I and ask anything about Jen's Jackets or how to continue or how to start or how to whatever. We would be very glad to help out.
Great. So if anybody out there wants to start their own or they want to get in touch with you and find out how they can start their own or ask you specific questions, they can email you at jensjackets@yahoo.com.
Correct.
Okay. And again, that's JENSJACKETS at yahoo.com. Great. Now, I know that Jen's Jackets keeps you pretty busy, right?
I
also know that you and Ken are the proud and very actively involved grandparents of 10 grandchildren.
Indeed.
10.
Yep. 10 is wonderful. It's a magic number. 5 girls and 5 boys.
My goodness. So how is it, and we're going to switch gears a little bit, that you have time, okay? You have these 10 grandchildren, 10 wonderful grandchildren. You have Jen's Jackets, but you also are an artist and produce the most wonderful creations. And I know because I own at least 5 pieces of your work. They're beautiful. So how do you have time for all this?
Well, I don't really know. I guess I've always loved art. I was going to either be an English teacher or an art teacher. And I went into English, and for many years raising my own family, I kind of drifted away. Well, life was so incredibly busy raising children.
Yep.
And then about 20 years ago, I took some watercolor classes and really started to really love art again.
Okay.
And so that's evolved. I fit it in when I can. If there's a day when I'm not really crazy, I generally will try to paint for a couple of hours. It's right now it's kind of hit or miss, but it's a great outlet. I just feel such joy in creating that I try to make it part of my life.
Okay. All right. And what kinds of art do you produce exactly?
Well, paintings, watercolor paintings. Then I also do acrylic painting. And then I do kind of a middle ground where I use texture. So I create these collages that are watercolor, acrylic, and then, you know, all sorts of textures, string, fabric, objects from nature incorporated into them.
Okay.
So just kind of whatever. I don't really have a style. I just kind of, it's experimentation.
Okay. All right. And I own one of your collages that we just love to death. It is gorgeous.
Thank you, Jenny.
Anybody comes to my house, I show them, because as soon as you walk in, it's right there, and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
So, where do you think your talent comes from exactly?
I really have no idea. Nobody in my immediate family, my background, my parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles were artistic. But I think it's interesting that two of my sisters, I have two sisters, and all three of us are artistic. We all do something to work in the arts.
Okay. All right. So it's just basically in your genes.
Yes.
Somewhere.
I guess we don't know who or where, but somewhere back there, perhaps there was an artist who is showing up in us.
Okay. All right. And so if somebody wanted to see your art, besides coming to my house and seeing all the pieces I have, is there any way that they could see it?
Right now, I have been in galleries. Before I started my private psychotherapy practice, I spent about a year and a half producing art for sale, and I was mm-hmm. in a number of galleries then. I'm not currently. I don't really have the time to market myself okay. a lot. So I would say the best way is to email me, and you know, I could discuss what they're interested in if I have anything like that.
Okay.
And I could arrange to meet with people.
Great. Okay, let's give out your email address so that people can contact you if they want to.
Okay, the email address is klconroe@comcast.net. And it's klconroe@comcast.net.
Excellent, excellent. And again, I love your art. And
you,
I know
Jeanette.
That other people love your art, and other folks will love your art. So I want everybody to get in touch with you and see what you've got going on there. One of the other things that I've bought from you are these angel note cards. A few years ago, I bought them, and I ended up giving them out as gifts, and people absolutely loved them. Do you sell those? Can people get those?
I do. As I said, I'm not really marketing the art anymore. I have cards available.
Okay.
And it's funny you say that. That's my favorite piece of art that I've ever created. Because it seemed like I wasn't painting it. That sounds a little out there, but it just kind of painted itself. Usually there's a little laborious work where I'm trying to figure things out in a painting, and it kind of came together, and I think it's my favorite because a number of people who have been very ill or dying I've either given them a piece of an art, the angel framed or unframed, or someone else has. And, in fact, I was in a wake last night that someone said how much that image had meant
to
them.
Wow,
okay. So I have the cards, and I would be willing to sell them. I'm not in a store or anything like that.
Okay, all right. Well, again, people can contact you at klconroe@comcast.net if they want to get in touch with you about your art. We just have a couple of minutes left, so I want to say thank you, Lindy, for coming on to the show, and thank you for creating with your husband, Jen's Jackets. You can reach Lindy and Ken at jensjackets@yahoo.com for information about donating clothes and to start a program in your community, and that's J-E-N-S. Jackets, jackets@yahoo.com. If you want to contact her about her art, you can reach her at klconroe@comcast.net. Lindy, is there anything that you want to say to people out there? Say hello to anybody while we have a second?
Well, there's probably 1,000 people, but mostly I guess I'd like to say hello to my mother-in-law, Norma Conroe, who's just turned 93. And
hey.
I'd just like to say hi and have a great day, Norma.
Okay. Quick shout out to Fat Cat Design. If you're looking for a designer of websites and print media, you can contact Fat Cat Design at fcdesign.net. And also, of course, contact Jeannie White if you want to check out her new interviews at connectwithjeanniewhite.com. This has been Janae Giddens of Ultra Life Coaching and Toon Talks with Janae Radio, sitting in for Jeannie White. And I want to thank everybody for listening today, and have a fantastic day. Bye-bye.